Blog Talk Radio.
Cast down to the sea, his chosen captain, drowned in the Red Sea.
要是软了，哎呀，阿拉哈呀那哇，哎呀，哈。什么要是完了，还要阿拉海那哇，还要人们要是软了，哎呀，阿拉海那哇，哎呀，
Shalom, shalom, family, and welcome to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GOCC's first women's show designed with you in mind. I'm your host, Sister Shirley, and out there somewhere is Sister Carol.
Out there somewhere. Hi, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Carol.
Yeah. We also have Sister Betty is in the house. Sister Betty.
Shalom, Sister Betty.
Sister Jackie is in the house.
Shalom, daughters of Zion. Hey,
welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome country
back,
girl. Lord have mercy. Where the heck do you live? Sister Aura in the background. Sister Aura, are you there?
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom. Shalom. All right, it's good to be here again today to hang out with you guys, sit at the round table, and to, break it down, right? Talk together.
Yeah.
So the first two musical interludes that you always hear, Song of Moses, Exodus 15, in its entirety, and our dedication to Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You know, we play those two songs. It's real simple. We used to play other songs. People would send us music. We just put it on, yada, yada. But what happens is when the music belongs to someone else, something samples for somebody, they drop out of the church, it just becomes a problem. So we just stick with the one song we know is going nowhere, and the Shema, and we good. How about that, you know? So I hope it doesn't get boring, but you do learn the words to it, and it's Exodus 15 in its entirety. However, it's paraphrased and, you know, has a lot of poetic license in there with the bridge and what have you, but we praise the Most High for it. And so we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this roundtable to ask a question or to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327 or tell a friend, 515-605-9327, and press 1 to get into the host queue. And when we bring our callers in, we'll bring you right in to join the roundtable. This is your opportunity to say what you need to say, what you want to say. Well, not quite. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and click on blogtalkradio.com/GOC Church. And you can find us there. All our episodes are listed under Restoring the Daughters of Zion. You can also reach out to us in private email, Restoring the Daughters of Zion at gmail.com. And as usual, our disclaimer, whatever you hear on this show, this information voice on this show is for informational purposes only and not intended to be a substitute for professional or medical advice, diagnosis, mental counseling, or treatment. Always ask the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider before undertaking any new care regime, and never disregard professional advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this station. We do, however, hold to the Holy Bible, the Scriptures, as our foundation, and invite anyone listening to try Christ as their Savior. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Amen. All right, so tonight's show, I mean, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to be talking about the Scripture that says, and we'll read that shortly, but the Scripture says, he who saves his life shall lose it. Somehow that doesn't make a lot of sense in this man's army. You know what I mean? He who saves his life shall lose it. Well, what does that mean? So we're going to take a deep dive into that and see exactly what that means. What is saving your life? What does it mean to save your life? But before we go off on a tangent, which I usually do, Carol, you want to bring us in before his throne? And let's make sure that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart are acceptable unto the Most High God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I would like to also add, I was listening to you when you were talking about the music being copyrighted and things like that, mm-hmm. that we can't just play mm-hmm. somebody else's music. And I'm so grateful to the Most High that his word is not copyrighted.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, we can and read it and just carry on as much as we want. Put songs to it, music to it, and just ignore all the big mouth.
Well, see, the laws of the land, if I remember correctly, after it's 100 years old, it's open for, you know, whatever you want to do, because nobody's coming back from the grave to get anything. But nonetheless, this his word is from, it's from eternity. We cannot even consider that. But go ahead, Carol.
Right.
Let's rock with it.
So I want to start out by reading Psalms 34, another favorite.
I love it.
And bear with me. It's like 20-something verses, but I'll get through it as quickly as possible. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Mm-hmm. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Yes.
I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep my tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking vile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from earth, from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth out of them all. Keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Praise the name of the Father. I thank you so much for your word, Father. Thank you for leaving that for us, that we may feast on your word together, Father. We thank you so much for being our God, for selecting us, for choosing us to come fully to the throne of grace and talk to you at night. Father, we're asking you tonight to look upon this show, that the words that we speak will edify the body, that the words the folks that call in will also edify the body. And we may continue to find answers and direction, Father, as we help one another to pull ourselves out of Babylon. Touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among it, Father. That's what we're doing tonight, is that you help us to separate ourselves from sin. The scripture says, he who nameth the name of the Lord, depart from evil from sin. Father, I thank you. Speak from sin. I thank you so much for all who are listening. I'm asking you, or we are asking, if you touch anyone who has a problem in their body tonight, give them strength. Heal them, Lord. Send them to the right place to find the right answer, Father. I'm asking you right now that you give peace to all of our listeners as we join together as sisters, feasting on your word tonight, Father. We thank you so much. We're so grateful, Lord.
Thank you so much.
In the name of Ahayah, Bashem, Yeshaya, for our work we pray. Amen.
What a wonderful Savior is Christ our Lord. Isn't that so? What a wonderful Savior is he. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock. And now I just remember that next verse. It's dumb. But anyway, I just want to say that we get a lot of phone calls and commentary, and when we're counseling people, and I don't want to call it so-called pain that people are going through, because it's relative. You know what I mean? It's how we receive life. And if we receive life in such a way that it comes into us on the download, shall I say, or the negative, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt us immensely. But if we do receive it in a different way, it changes the whole direction of it. But the topic tonight is, he who saves his life shall lose it. Now, when in church, we're always talking about salvation. And we're always talking about, definitely you want to save your life. The scripture says, choose life. But what does he saves his life? And I just want to bring this scripture up before we, Ecclesiastes 2, we're going to look at that later. But we need to look at, I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I just want to read a little bit of that, if you don't mind. Are you going to pull that up, 1 Timothy 4? And start reading that a little bit.
Chapter 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which the Most High have created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving.
Okay, I was going to just tell you to stop right there, but
okay,
technically
like
go on down, a little bit more,
Okay. For it is sanctified by the word of God in power. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Yeshua Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. There is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe.
Okay.
These things command and teach.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So, and that's what I have there. These things command and teach. And what is that? See, because the scripture is talking about we're living, number one, we know we're living in the last times, Carol. And everybody has a doctrine out there. Everybody. Everybody got some new thing that they're coming up with, you know, they got this, what do you call it, the new age stuff. There's nothing new about new age, that's for sure. That's been out there for a long time. Yeah, it's old pagan, new age. But the thing is that, you know, we need to definitely know our place as women in the church. However, we still have to understand that this spirit that is teaching us, the spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times, there are going to be some that are going to depart from the way. It says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we better cling on. We better hold on to the Most High, not even friends, family, you know, hold on to Christ. Because even the things that we counsel people, we have people coming to us counseling and, you know, going over them and telling them this and telling them that. And I remember when Elder was, you know, with us, he said, we're not counseling anybody anymore because that's their job at home to learn how to get along with each other. And it's the God honest truth, because what our job should be is to learn how to love one another and to care for another. And what should our image be? That image should be the image of Christ that we're trying to aspire to. And sometimes I think we pay too much attention to feminine, masculine, all of those kind of things. Pay attention to what Christ was. You know what I mean? If we could look at what Christ is, we could find a way to love whoever it is with us right where they are. And if we're having a problem with them, instead of us feeling like he who saves his life, son of the loser, have you ever been in that situation where you feel like, I'm not doing this no more. This is crazy. You know, dealing with this man is. Have you ever felt like that? Or this job, this job is, you know, too much, you know. I got to find me. How many people are out there talking about, I got to find me? As young people, even before we came to Christ, we wanted to know who we were. At least that's what the word on the street was. I never said that verbatim,
But I felt like I was it. One of the reasons why it took me as long as it did to come to Christ was because I liked who I was. Didn't you kind of like who you were? You felt that you felt like you were free when you were doing your thing. You know, you felt like, hey, I'm doing me. Especially after you came out of a crisis. You know, have you ever come out of a crisis and then decided, I'm going to do my own thing now. It's all about me. I remember when my first husband died, I felt like, it's about me now. It's about me now. I need to go on a vacation by myself. I never had been on a vacation in my life. Me and my husband, nothing. And I went on my first vacation with a friend in the church because I was kind of in a upset. I was a little mentally broken. And I didn't know that I was that crazy until after I came out of it. But I felt like it's time to do me. I've given up myself so much. I've given up myself. And now it's time to do me. And what good does that do? Saving my own life. Tell me something, Carol. How do you save your life? How would you say you're saving your life?
Well,
are you there?
I'm here. I guess you could say various decisions in your life where you know, okay, let's say you want a big house, right? You know, in order to get that big house, you're going to have to do a whole lot of extra work, right? I mean, to make more money. And if it means giving up church or whatever, you do it because you figure that you have to, I have to provide for myself. I have to do these things, not trusting in the Lord to provide. And many times it's because it was out of the lust of the flesh that we purchased it anyway, or whatever it was that we did.
Definitely.
And so our big mind is that I'm going to look a certain way, and in order to achieve that, I may the service may suffer from it, because many of us, I mean, when I remember getting a job when I was in the First Day Church and I worked every Sunday. That was killing me, but I stayed there because I couldn't go to church, and I felt terrible, but I stayed. I got bills to pay. What are you talking about?
And so we're saving what we think life is. We have to figure out what is life, because the life that we're saving, is that what the scriptures are talking about is life? Because that's why he says he who saves his life shall lose it. Is this life that we've picked out for ourselves? That's the part that we're going to lose, that we're trying to hold on to. Betty, have you tried to, you know, ever in your life where you've had a part of you that you were trying to hold on to, or that you realize you were saving your own life?
Well, yeah. You know, when you are a person that is alone and you feel, I mean, like young women, for instance, they want a husband, you know. So you find a lot of, especially ones in the world, running after men, trying to meet a man in a club every weekend, you know, or hoping that they'll find somebody. Going in and out of relationships. This is what this is all about, because they're driven. They're driven away in this wickedness, and it takes hold of them. So this is how they, even medicine, even people who go into the doctors, they are driven away in trying to save their lives without calling on the Most High and listening to His instructions on these things. So, people do this a lot. Yeah.
I can look back and see that when I was, before I began to walk with Christ, I felt like I need to meet somebody and get married. I need to meet a man. And if I start
trying to go to church and trying to live this righteous and holy life, that's going to X out several men that would be available to me. That's number one. And I won't be able to go the places that are necessary to find said man if I start trying to walk with God, because the men in the church are punks. You know, it's like they're all talking about Christ. They always want to show you a Bible scripture, or they always want to talk about, I need to be out there with the wild ones, and then I'll come to Christ. I remember that because I knew I needed to come to Christ, but I needed to get that situation going on in my life, save my own life, put my own stuff together before I went to Christ. Because Christ, the people that I knew that were in the church were boring, in my opinion, at that time. They dressed bad, you know. They didn't look charming. They didn't have anything to say except, you know, you need Jesus. You know, it's like, come on, you know, let's get real here. Sister Aura, talk to us about how you felt like you were saving your life before you came to Christ, or even during your time with Christ.
Well, I can remember a time when I felt like, you know, I had done so, I got weary with well doing, you know. There was a time in my life when I felt like I had just done all I could, and it still wasn't working. I still didn't get the result that I was trying to achieve. And
amen.
I said, well, perhaps this is never going to happen. So let me just forget this plan and think about myself now and just do what makes me feel real, you know? And needless to say, it was disastrous, but there's times you feel that way because you're not getting the results that you think, or it's not happening fast enough. You know, you get very self-doubt and you say, well, you know what? I'm tired. You know, this is not working. And then especially if you're on one of those down days, and then you get that support system that's talking about, I was wondering when you was going to stop doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You're going to wake up out of that super, you know.
How about that, you know?
It's almost like I remember someone saying to me when I was talking to them about you and how you stayed with your husband even though he wasn't the greatest. And she said, oh, that's just a blessing that I have to miss out on.
Oh, yeah.
So she would have saved her life by destroying the marriage. Because, you know, you hear lots of people who give you all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of things. And there's a saying that goes, hindsight is 20/20, but it isn't. Because when you look back on something, if I'd have done this, if I'd have done that, you don't know what other things would have been introduced as you changed and manipulated whatever it was you were trying to manipulate.
I'm going to go out on a limb before I bring Sister Jackie in, and I might get in trouble, but I've never seen it. I always hear so much about how if Eve had not given Adam the fruit, he would have never, sin would have never come into the world. And when you said hindsight is not 20/20, how do we know that? Where's the scripture that says Adam would have never fallen if Eve hadn't given him the fruit? It might be one, but I've never seen it.
Because everybody
talks about it. The devil is a formidable adversary. And he wasn't going to stop if Eve hadn't given him, if he hadn't eaten from the hand of Eve, because he had to get Adam. He wasn't going to stop there. So we don't know that, but I know we take the heat for it. We definitely take the heat. But nonetheless, we're used to that, right, y'all? It's just the God honest truth. When you say hindsight is not 20/20, the variables definitely change. But still, let's stay with the subject of saving our lives. Sister Jackie, talk to me about saving your life. Did you try to save your life, or even now, do you sometimes find yourself trying to hold on to you?
Absolutely. What comes to my mind is for over 30 years, I was a stylist.
Your voice sounds really bad. I don't know what kind of thing you're talking on right now. You're in the car. Pull over. I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry.
No problem, Susan. I'm just playing with you. It's such a hard journey.
Much better now.
I don't hear her. She's not talking yet, Betty. You're crazy. I'm not hearing her.
Okay. Can you hear me better?
Yeah.
I think
much better.
It's not muffled anymore, yeah.
Okay, so I said absolutely. For over 30 years, I was a committed hairstylist, own salon, own staff, and I tried to save my life in that salon so much and so that I was working from sunup to late at night most of the time. And what did that lead to? Nothing. Just like the salon I was in, we didn't really have windows where you could see outside, and I didn't even realize that because I was so caught up into saving myself. It wasn't that I was working for a car or anything, but just trying to do stuff to stand out, make money. You know what I'm saying? Make money, do whatever I needed to do.
But
was always too tired, to spend it. You know, and so that's one of the ways I was trying to save myself. Fast forward, I was just my husband and I just celebrated 35 years, so we were reflecting just over the first year. I was living in a brand new condo, and so he moved in. But within a year, we moved out and got a 4-bedroom home. And I was like, why did we do that? And if we had a chance to do that over again, would we do it like that? Because we had no kids. We didn't have kids until 3 years after our marriage. And so why did we need to go out and buy a home? Why did we do that? It makes no sense. Like, we were just spending money. Like, I don't know. I don't know if we were trying to live like whatever. I don't know what it was, but it was wrong. And both of us said that was so crazy and out of order, and we didn't even know it. And we were in the church, you know. But now, where I am now, no, I'm not trying to save myself. I'm convinced, I'm so persuaded I cannot save myself. Nothing that I'm going through, I cannot save myself. I can only the Most High can do that. It took me, I'm 62 now,
absolutely.
So it took me a long time to get there through a lot of trials, tribulations, falling down, getting back up, dealing with difficult people, dealing with myself. You know, so yeah, no, I cannot save myself.
Let me throw the scripture out. I'm gonna look at Matthew 16:25, and it says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, straight up.
Mm-hmm.
But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And now you know, because you can lose your life for a lot of reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You could sacrifice yourself out there where you're not concerned about you. You're concerned about this career or your children. I'm going to tell you right now, I remember when I first started climbing that corporate ladder, and I mean, sometimes when it rains, it pours. You know how they talk about when you pray for rain during the latter rain, because when Most High is raining into your life, this is the time to go ahead and pray for more, because he's raining into your life. You're on the upswing, right? And so I began to really climb high, and things started really happening for me. And my job became a little more important than being at home, because that's where the money was coming from, to take care of my home. That was where, you know, I was able to take care of my home and give my children the things that we thought, you know, material possessions, be able to take them on, you know, horseback riding, be able to take them, they could have dance lessons and all these different things. And I truly believe I lost my son at that time, because that's when you're not there to pour into them. And so when he got older, oh my God, it's you pay now, you pay later. When he got older, it was so much harder to reel him back in from the things, from being left in school and all these outside programs and things that were set up that I felt was, in this world, good, because I was saving their lives according to this world, but losing myself and my relationship, but not for the cause of Christ.
Right.
You understand? Because when we're not doing it for the cause of Christ, we still will be in trouble. So we don't
need to think
that sacrifice alone is good. It has to be for the cause of Christ. And so I find that, all right, so now we kind of know that, I think, now that we are walking with Christ. But what about when it starts hurting? It's painful. You know, it's painful. It can be painful. What do you say about that, Sister Aura? What about when life gets painful? Do we just back up and say, you know what? No more of this. No more. What about when our lives get painful? We live in a house with, and I don't like to say it, but it's the truth, that sometimes we're living in a situation in a marriage that's difficult.
Yeah.
And I want you to say what you're going to say about that, and then I want to say something. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, I know it does get painful, and I guess that's when you gotta, you know, cry out to the Lord, and you know, you gotta do a lot of on your knees. That's when that happens, until you get that breakthrough. But it will be painful. But the Most High said we're gonna have to suffer. You know, we're gonna have to go through some things, but it takes a lot to learn this. You know?
I was wondering if
you've got to stay in a marriage, and you know that this is what the Most High said, and you know the person's not beating you up, you know, he may just be, you know, just an irritable person at the time, or whatever it is, your life is not at stake. And he's just making you feel uncomfortable right now. Maybe he's going through some stuff, but you're ready to bail on it. But you got to remember what Christ said, you know, because sometimes this is Christ. God might be trying to tell us something, you know.
That's right.
We're going to try to walk away from it. So, okay, we might get out of it then, but usually what happens, you go right back into a same situation like that, because you didn't learn what the Most High was trying to teach you. So,
exactly.
Right. You know, sometimes you can't bail out. You just got to say, Lord, help me, because I can't do this without you. You got to realize that, but you can't go out that back door. You got to, sometimes he wants you to go through the storm instead of taking you out of the storm.
Right. Sister Betty, find Luke 9 and 50 and start at 57. And so I think that when we look at our lives, like you said, Aura, sometimes, and we keep talking about that, that the Most High is trying to teach us something. There's a scripture that we always know, because we know the scriptures, but applying them to our heart and to the situation is a whole nother ball game. the scripture that mm-hmm. says, in whatever condition you find yourself in, to be content, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the will of God concerning whom?
You.
Concerning you. And so there's mm-hmm. something the Most High is trying to teach us if we're in a hot seat. And so what should be our response when we're in a hot seat? Since this is the will of God concerning us, what should we do in that hot seat? Sister Carol, what should we
be
do?
Be still. Just be still.
Mm-hmm.
And know that there is a higher. Just be still and trust in the Most High. You know?
Just all what you can do. Mm-hmm.
Easier said than done for some.
Thank you. For all.
Mm-hmm.
Carol,
right.
Are you there, Carol?
I am.
Okay, Sister Aura, what should we do?
No, I guess we've got to look at the example that Christ gave us, because I'm sure he didn't want to go to the cross and die, but he had to do that. But you saw what he had to do. He had to keep going back to his Father. He had to be in prayer so much blood was coming out of him. You know what I'm saying? He was sweating blood. He had to be in a long prayer. But he kept saying, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thine. And that's what I'm saying. We've got to suffer because he said we are going to, you know. And, you know, but our ways are not always his ways. And most of the time, they're not. It's like we do have to die daily. Because even it's usually the small things that we have the big issues with. Usually if it's something big, we don't struggle with that. But something small, it just keeps seeping in until finally it becomes big. You know what I'm saying? But these little things that we come out, that's not all of that. You know, he'll understand that. We keep doing stuff like that instead of recognizing what is God trying to say to us. You know what I mean? We just keep pushing on. Nah, I'm not doing that now. Hey, think I'm going to stay up that late? No, I'm going to bed. You know, we do this all the time. We, you know, but I think it's because we don't want to come out of our comfort zones either.
No. We really truly want to have our way. You know, what's so bad about being me? You know, I think I'm pretty good. I'm cool. But thank you, Jackie. You're so right about that, because the things that come out of my mouth, they're not spoken like the words of the Most High God. They're not edifying somebody. Everything that comes out of my mouth, I still got work to do to become like Christ. Am I talking around it? You know, we have to become like Christ. And what does it look like to the world and to us when someone is taking advantage of us or walking on us? It doesn't have to be in a marriage, because, you know, a lot of times in the marriage, you're in the staring pot. You're on the potter's wheel in a marriage. You're gonna learn how to do a lot of things. In a marriage, you can learn to do the wrong thing, too. But you are going to be tried and tested when you are in a marriage. And that's why we hear everybody making all the noise about, you know, she's this and he's that. But that should not be what you hear coming out of people's mouths. And I like this scripture because it says, when a man's ways please God. You see, the problem is we don't believe that. We don't believe that, and we don't believe God. Because if we did believe that, we would go to God when that hurt comes in, and we would try to change us into more like Christ, not more like that old man or who we used to be. Or, you know, you get everybody out in the street, your friends, your brothers, your people that love you, that are telling you, I wouldn't take that no more. No. Mm-mm. Leave that colored man. Leave that person. because this is making you look like you some kind of punk.
Mm-hmm.
He who saves his life, save your life. Don't waste your. No, remember on The Color Purple when what's her name, Oprah Winfrey, was yelling at Sadie Seedy or whatever her name was, and she said, missing, he's doing this and that and other, and she said, heaven lasts always, and she said, I'd have beat him over the head and the heck, you know, heck with that. But technically, that's exactly what we're called to do. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. We are called to.
We're not called to be beat up, but we are called to.
Well, no, Carol, I'm not saying that, but a living,
living sacrifice, because we have people who are listening, and I just want to make sure no one thinks we're advocating somebody standing and getting beat up. That's all.
I appreciate that. We need to be. That's why he said a living sacrifice. You're of no good to the most high God. Death. Okay, so we offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. And what is holy? What is holy? We have to not save our lives in accordance with this world, but lose it for the sake of Christ. Because
now,
of Christ, and I'm going to say this, and then you can chime right in. I was in a rough marriage by my own hand. Trust me. It was almost like Adam and Eve. It was my fault I got put out of the garden, you know, when I was dealing with my, you know, when I had my husband, because I had to have him. I saw him and I said, that's mine. And I was going to get that man. And I got him, okay? And I was living in a difficult situation. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't getting the crap beat out of myself in the house. Mm-hmm. But it was mental anguish in the sense that he was not carrying any burden of mine, okay? Not taking care of the children, not helping to pay anything, not working, being an ogre in the house. He was doing all those things. Completely out of control, and because he was using substances, you know, so that was his God and his orders, his marching orders. But I put myself in that position, and I did not, I had to suffer through it because I could not.
You wanted it.
Scripture, once I the Lord found me, called me, thank you, Father, and lifted me up. The whole thing, my life changed when my mind got converted, when he changed my heart and said to me, pay attention to this and not that. The kingdom is coming. That's what your goal is. Never mind what's happening here. And he didn't change my circumstance when I began to walk with Christ. He changed how I saw it. He changed how I received it. He changed it because I was still in the fire. I was still in there, but guess what? The Son of Most High God was with me. That's the only way I get burned in there. I survived it. And with all five of my children, we made it. And so when you go ahead and walk with God and do what you're supposed to do, it's not a male or female thing. It's do what God said do.
Amen.
With him. Learn to be like Christ. And it's not a matter of being a punk. It's not a matter of what everybody else says. It's like the closer you walk with God, the more beautiful he'll make you. And sometimes I think my husband had to stay on drugs because it took me that long to learn to hear the voice of God. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, most times we're in a stupor. We can't hear it.
Yeah. Paying attention to our situation. Instead of paying attention to the Most High because I wasn't in trouble.
Amen.
He was. He was in trouble, not me, but I
Amen.
Was. I took that pain on of my own. Angry.
Sometimes the
out
has to run over
with
us.
It. Yes.
Sometimes the Most High has to have to allow a truck to run us over to wake us up. Because
yes.
a lot of times we cannot see that super.
Yes.
We're so
yes.
caught up in it.
Mm-hmm. And we feel sorry for ourselves. We feel sorry for ourselves. But the scripture says he won't put more on you than you can bear. And if that real problem comes, he gives you a way of escape.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah.
he can hide in the wings of the Most High.
That's right.
Who did I ask? Betty, Luke 9:57. Did you get it?
I did.
Okay. Go ahead and read that.
And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And he said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head.
Okay, stop right there. So what kind of answer is that? Or what kind of answer is that the Most High gave him?
It was like, it was weird because it didn't really answer the question. He was like, why are you even saying this? Really? You know what I'm saying? He threw out something like, you know?
I get why he said it.
Yeah, he's telling us like his ways are not our ways. Why are you telling me this? I just told you to do this. And you're going to bring me this? You know,
what do you see there? Darryl, what do you see there? Foxes have holes, birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Is Carol still there? I hope we didn't drop her.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. He said, I'll follow you no matter where you go.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ turned around and say to him, look, I don't even have a place to lay down at. And you're talking about you following me.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You
I'm
don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but
so
here's the thing, though. Are you ready? No,
right,
the question
exactly.
is, are you ready to follow Christ?
Christ prepared. He says, he says that he also says if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Yes.
Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For
Amen.
What is a man
Amen.
Profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And I was watching.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's
soul. I was watching someone talking about The Devil's Advocate, that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You remember in the movie, the guy, his wife was sick, but he wanted to win so badly that he didn't care. He tried to act like, if I don't do it, I'll hate her for the rest of my life because I did not go on and do it. And how many times have we done things like that, thinking that if we do this, even though we know it's wrong, we'll gain something because winning has become the new good. Whether you're doing it, whether it's godly, just win. Don't
lose
is the bad guy. But the winner, no matter what he's done to get that win, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And so that's why we cannot miss the mark by trying to save our lives. Betty, start at verse 59. Go ahead.
And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
Keep going.
The Father said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. So go thou. And preach the kingdom of God.
Okay.
And another also said,
wait, stop right there. Stop right there because We always got an excuse why we can't do what the Most High told us.
Mm-hmm.
He called us. He called us. And now we're going to tell him, look, I got to go do something else, you know. I need to do me. I need to figure this out for myself. What is Most High Christ telling us? He said, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That's what he told us to do. Cut out what you're doing. Forget about what you're up to. Go out there and preach the gospel. Never mind the fact that somebody, you got things that you want to do. And this is how we
describe
sometimes, running around trying to figure out, no, I'm not going to stay with that man any longer because, he's not doing it for me. He's just not. And like when I was young, I was like, I'll walk with Christ after I get married. Because, I know there's other things to do. But once I find a husband, once I do the things that I need to do, now I'll get married. You know, and then that's when you put that cart before the horse and you'll find out what you've done by saving your own life. I lost out on a lot of things. I look back and I say, Lord, if I had just listened to my mother was telling me, giving me great wisdom. I would have had so, I'd own so many homes right now. I would have been doing a lot of different things. The most, I don't know everything that I would have been doing because, of course, hindsight is not 20/20. Maybe I would have just been a little housewife. But that still, I was trying to save my life in its own on my own with what I thought made me feel good. Because you know what? You feel pretty good when you're doing what you want to do. You ever not do what you do and you feel like, doggone it, if I'd have did what I wanted to do, I was feeling better because I went out here, I hung out, I had a good time. Like, two people coming home for a party.
It feels good, but I
can't even get up in the morning.
It feels good, but them feelings come and go. Our feelings lie to us every
time. Yes, they do.
It's temporal, and that's what we need to know. And when we want to follow Christ and lose our lives, I've not only lost my life, I've lost my mind. I don't have my mind.
Oh, my God, fall in love with Christ.
And family members recognize that. Who is this? Here go Jackie again. Here she go changing again. I've always been like that in the church. I've always been like that. And so horrible. And that's what we have. And I'm still trying to be more like that because it's too far for me to go back. I've come too far to turn around and go back.
That's right.
I'm scared
of the Lord letting go of my hand. I'm scared of that. I know when I'm capable out there in the world, I would embarrass my whole family. If the Most High was not holding on to my hand. I know. Yeah. Go ahead, Sister Betty, give me verse 61. Carol, you wanted to say something before we move on?
I was just going to say, remember last week we talked about the importance of the Sabbath and why we have to keep the Sabbath in. It was more important than any other holy day. But, on the Sabbath, it's like if it's raining, I think I'm going to stay home because, you know.
It's raining. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of that verse that says, I cannot come, you know, the one that talks, what she was reading a little while ago about, I gotta go bury my dead and just bought a land and, you know, I got a wife and. You know, go. You know, I don't have time to come to your banquet because that's what the Sabbath is. It's this big feast we're having, right?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. But we're saving our lives. I'm too tired to go in there today.
If it was your job, you'd be there. If it was your job, it's almost like this.
We have to travel. Me and my husband, we travel 2 hours. Way to get to church because when we were in Charlotte after COVID, we lost our building and Raleigh lost their building. We had to come together, and we meet in a halfway point. But that halfway point is 2 hours from my house. The other one was like 45 minutes to an hour. Now I'm traveling 2 hours. And, you know, sometimes you feel like, man, I don't feel like doing this. But you know what? When I lived in New York, it took me more than 2 hours to get to work each way. And I was paying a fortune to do it. But I'm just saying, if it's for a job or something we really want, hey, we know how to do it, don't we? And when Christ said, and you don't hear me complain,
when Christ said, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the gospel. Now, we're not out there, quote unquote, preaching the gospel, but it's a gospel lived when we get up and go do what the Most High said do. When we sacrifice our life, that's preaching the gospel in the sense that showing people the importance of Christ. Get up and go anyhow. Go do what the Most High said do, regardless of how you feel. Sister Betty, read verse 61. Go ahead.
And another also said, Christ, I will follow thee, but let me first of all bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Christ said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, fit for the kingdom of God.
Fit. What a word.
He's like, not now, but right now.
Exactly. Because who are we to say we are rule over our lives when we have come to walk with the Most High God? If he's saving us, we got to do what this, you know, when we were slaves to the white man, some of us knew how to do that pretty well to keep from getting killed, didn't we? We knew how to call the slave master chief. We knew how to be respectful. We knew how to do all those things. But when Christ tells us to do something, we got excuses. We got, you know, I'm a little tired this morning. You know, I done this for 20 years. I'm tired, you know. You know, honestly, I can look back when I first married. I said to Most High, you know, I'm not doing this again. You know what I'm saying? And how are you telling God what you're going to do and what you ain't going to do? He's our master. He's our master. Mm-hmm. We cannot afford to save our lives. We must lose our lives. We must give our life totally to Christ so that he can change us into what he wants us to be, a living sacrifice, that vessel, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service, our reasonable service. But what if we're not happy, guys? What if we're just not happy in the position we're in? What can not happy being not happy do for you? When you're not happy. I want to hear from Sister Aura. What about being when you're not happy about something?
That can be a lot of times because you can be not happy in your marriage. All of a sudden, things aren't going the way you wanted them to go. That we're not called to be happy because sometimes I know, and I sound like somebody who's half crazy talking about what do you mean you wasn't happy? But you got to look at what's the big picture too, and if it's still going according to God's will, even though you're not happy, you better do it because you never heard of unhappiness if you go against it. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you can walk away from something and just like, what was that, Esau, he was so hungry, that's all he could think about. So he gave up his birthright. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not happy, but God is not calling you to be happy all the time. He's telling you to do what he wants you to do. He's calling you to obedience.
You know,
if you are going through it to the point where you are feeling getting sick and you're always weary and this someone is actually just treating you with totally disrespect and verbal abuse, and the Most High calls us to peace. You know, sometimes it's just to walk away. Of course, if a woman leaves her husband by walking away, she has to know that she's going to be bound. So I think sometimes women would prefer being bound than to be living with verbal and physical abuse.
Well,
right.
You know what?
A lot of times when I have counsel lessons, sessions with sisters, one thing I ask them is, okay, so he's not doing nothing in the house. He's not helping. He's not cleaning. He's playing video games. He's doing what this world thinks a man does. He's having his way or whatever. He's doing these things. So what will be the situation? What will change for you when he leaves if you throw him out? You know what I mean? It's like now you definitely don't have a babysitter. No date, you know. Whatever money he was bringing to the table, now that's not coming either. So how are you faring better, for real? When you see that, because when you are in Christ, they talked about Christ. It didn't change the fact that he still went to the cross for us. They mistreated him. They did all kinds of things to Christ, but he stayed the course. That's our job. We have to look at Christ. And, okay, if it gets too tough for you, you're walking in clay shoes, remain single. Can you manage that? That's another thing. Can you manage it? Can you live single without committing adultery, without committing fornication, without turning into a homosexual? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Whenever you get ready to, when you step, when you move from God's divine will to his permissive will, look out. You're going to suffer hard. You think you're suffering in the situation you're in. But step out of where the Most High is molding you. Step out of his place and watch where your life goes. It's going to be the way of the transgressor. It's hard.
Yeah.
And you know what? We got to be very careful. We have to be careful with the word happy, because it's not just abuse in the home and all of that. People find reasons and I'm not happy. But is that what the Most High called us for? Because Paul, we look at his life. Now, please, somebody explain to me, where was he happy at?
Right.
What was all of this enjoying your everyday life that I keep hearing everybody keep walking in your, having your best life? And I don't know if Paul had all of that. Do you?
No.
I guess,
I'm simply saying that we are sometimes not remembering that Christ said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. And we have to be really careful when we start talking about, I'm not happy. You know, because especially with marriage, he did not put you together to be happy. He put you together to be holy.
Amen.
And holiness should make us happy, make us become happy. Because he says, if a man's ways please the Lord, what will he do?
So I just
get a little nervous when we dwell on the word happy. Because happy is such a temporary thing. It's what's happening right now. That's the thing that I'm in.
Well, we can go further than that. But wait a minute. Wait a second, and I want you to bring that back out, Aura. But let's think about this. When we have women that are, let's not even use that word happy. They feel like they're not being loved. They feel like their husbands are not loving them. I don't find the whole chapter of scriptures in the Bible about, you know,
loving on that level. You know what I'm saying? And it's even to the point of, even on the reverse side of that, where a man is complaining, yeah, my wife is not submissive, she's not this. What does the scripture tell us to do? Pray and fast for that person. That's what you do. You've got to go through the fire. Can you make it through the fire? Because once you are going through the fire, you're going.
He can go get
six other women. The fire is still there. Choose your
That's
poison.
Right.
Better
you
worse.
Are going through that fire and let the Most High, it's either you take the fire now, or you get it in the end of time. How about that? You want that fire? That late fire. We need to go ahead on and go through the furnace of adversity that the Most High has put there to change us into what he wants us to be, letting go of our lives and continuing to give up our lives for the sake of Christ. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. When I was in my marriage, happy, unhappy, I said, I could not find a scripture that said I could leave. I couldn't find one. I don't care what the world was saying. I could not find a scripture because that scripture said to stay there. And so for me, for the cause of Christ, I stayed there. And I endured. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Most High took that man away from me. I didn't. He was only 39 years old, and the Most High took him out of here. I didn't know what to do when he took him, but he did. Because when you walk with God, I'm going to tell you something. You have to continue to walk with God. And there I was left with five kids. Now, that could have changed me into something drastic. I could have turned into a complete idiot, but thank God he had me by the hand. He had me by the hand, and he gave me another husband. Now, whoever heard of a man that finds you with five kids, that most of them are teenagers and what have you, and finds you in that condition and marries you? You have to be crazy. I'm going to tell you right now. You have to be out of your mind, because I wouldn't have stepped in that situation for nothing. But the bottom line is that let God handle your life. He knows how to handle your life. Yes. And I am sorry that my first husband had to die. I am sorry that he had to be on drugs. But it brought me so much closer to life. And I apologize to the Most High. It took me so long to learn to trust God. It took me a long time. But that's not just for women. You understand? It's for everyone. Yeah. Everyone needs to learn to sacrifice their lives and walk with Christ and give up everything for the love of Christ. Everything you give up for Christ.
I think that, Sister Shirley, may I add, I think that's one of the main deceptions in a marriage, that we think we're supposed to be happy all the time. And if we're not happy, see you later, boo. I'll catch you later. I can be sad by myself. I can be broke by myself. But, you know, the Most High gave us joy. He said the joy of the Lord is your strength.
That is awesome.
And that strength, that joy allows me to be happy in some situations I'm not happy about, but I'm still content. Yeah. I mean,
isn't
that the truth? I'm a lady. I raised my kids. I raised them in the Word. One of them is not even in my life. My grandkids is not even in my life. I'm not happy
Lord
about
have mercy.
It. But I don't. It doesn't bother my joy, because that's where my strength comes from.
Amen.
And we have to submit ourselves and be teachable, and to get that type of understanding, it can only come from the Holy Spirit. It's not something that's just going to drop down on us when we're not being mindful of the ways of the Lord. We just show showing up at church, being entertained, going through the scriptures, but then we're not allowing the scriptures to go through us. That's a difference.
Exactly. Right.
What a word that is. What a word that is.
You know,
and you know what?
And
I agree with you. And you know what? It's like that's what sets us apart from the world.
Right.
Even when I lived in that situation, once Christ came into my life, I was happy. I was able to walk upright and wake up in the morning and go to work and talk with my children and be around people, and nobody knew the hell that was going on around me because I refused to let that water into my boat. I was with Christ. And that's how we all have to be when you're walking with Christ. Oh my goodness. What makes us any different from the world? Just knowing the scriptures? No. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that joy of the Lord, you need to go find it. You need to go find it because you are missing out on what salvation is. You're missing out on the peace that God gives you.
Yes,
not as the world gives, because the world can't take it away.
Oh,
okay. Your soul, thank you, Father, thank you. Where you don't have, you ever look at some of those poor drug addicts, oh my God, the burden that they're carrying around with them, the heaviness. When I look at some of the brothers and sisters in the marriage and they're walking with these heavy burdens, what is that?
Yeah.
I laugh. I was coming out, you know, my husband and I were coming out to church the other day and he was saying something to me. And I said something to him. And I said, my husband can't stand me. And we busted out laughing. I turned around, started laughing. And then I said, I don't like him either. And we just laughed at that because we're just having, listen, you just love each other. You're going to get on each other's nerves. Who cares? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's true. Continue to love and forgive. And I tell people when we counsel them, if you're looking to get married, look at that person and say, that's the person who I want to make happy. That's the person who I want to please. Not, I want that man to come into my life to please me. He can come in here. Let me see what he can do for me. Stop looking for what somebody can do for you.
Right.
The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's what love is.
That's right.
This is what saving, losing your life for the sake of Christ. You're not worried about what happens to you.
That's right.
You are more concerned about the other person, about the flock, about the people, about everyone around
you. That's so right.
And I definitely want to look at Ecclesiasticus chapter 2. Everybody knows we talk about Ecclesiasticus chapter 2. When we start that first verse, it's the first verse starts out. As soon as the first verse comes, you feel like falling to your knees and saying, I'm sorry. You know, it says, my son, and that includes daughters, okay, of course. Yeah. My son, if thou come to serve the Most High, prepare thy soul for temptation.
Prepare the soul for temptation, that's right.
We are going to be tested and tried. Are you ready? Are you ready or are you getting ready for what's coming? And then, so why are we complaining about, oh, God, I'm so tired. Why are we, pray and ask the Most High to help you because that's where your strength is going to come from. Change your focus. Start looking unto Yeshua, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, it's so important that we realize where these things are trying to lead us. You know, one brother came up. A brother called me yesterday, and he was talking to me, and he said something that troubled me. He said, the problem is that there's a feminine spirit, you know, in the church, and the men have to become more masculine and what have you. And I said, what? And I said, yeah, you, yeah, there is a feminine spirit in the church. It's called the Holy Spirit. Hello? You know, that's mm-hmm. the feminine part of the spirit. And Sister Betty brought that to my attention yesterday. You know what I'm saying? When we were talking,
mm-hmm.
it's like, mm-hmm. come on now. We have to know that if that Holy Spirit is not there, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, how can we prepare our souls for temptation? How
mm-hmm.
can we? We need,
how can
we? We cannot do it on our own.
We
yeah.
cannot
have
anything
power. Without the Holy Spirit. Nothing
no.
spiritual. Nothing good. We have to realize nothing good dwells in us, and we have to hook up with the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. That's why some
that's
people,
the power.
People just... That's why
that's
some people are so hateful and so mean. It's like, you don't
exactly.
have the Holy Spirit. You need
that's
the Holy
right.
Spirit. Stop being
and
so
that's...
mean.
That's
what
that's
what gives you that joy.
You can say Holy Spirit all you want, but you don't have him. If you walking around mistreating people, if you don't care if somebody broke their foot, you're not even saying, how you doing, sister? Are you okay? You can't even open your mouth to say that. Something is wrong. And we have
well,
to, we
well,
have to
but,
that
you,
we
but
have
you know,
to,
but you know what too is that if that complaint, if that complaint.
Wait a minute, let Sister
yeah.
Aura say what you're saying.
No, I'll
say
that. If that complaint, is that complaining? Because sometimes you just
yeah.
complain. Nobody wants to be around you. The Most High
that's
definitely
right.
doesn't like that complaining. And look what he did to them when they were going through the wilderness. The people that complained never made it to the other side.
There
because
you go.
They had, they had that wrong spirit. They had a very
yeah.
bad spirit, you know.
Yeah,
and that was something that the Most High said, that's one of the things he hates, you know. So,
yeah,
you know, the thing is, when you start that complaining, yeah, if you stop complaining, you know, stop looking at what's wrong with something and try to see what's right. Try to
yeah.
count your blessings instead of counting, oh, I
goodness.
Didn't get this.
Absolutely.
You know, I didn't get that. Oh, he didn't talk to me that day, or he didn't do this. Well, what did you do? Can you say,
let
you know what I'm trying
that.
To say? We got to mm-hmm. learn how to count our blessings, because then you'll forget about complaining when you do that.
Yeah.
Your
and
heart
I
is
think
going
that some
to
people
change.
Convince themselves that something is wrong.
Yeah.
So they're
yeah.
complaining. I know people do that. There are some people who actually do that. Convince
yeah,
themselves
so what,
stuff is wrong.
Yeah.
And
what
then,
are we going to do when we get together with
just,
the saints in heaven? And we, and
yeah.
they start talking about what they gave up and how they sacrificed their life. Or which one? Oh, he did me wrong. I had to suffer with that. You know what I'm trying to say? We haven't even gone through anything. If you look at the people before us, you know?
Yes,
yeah.
because these little, and we were talking about that last week when we said take up your cross. Worrying
yeah.
about somebody disrespected you. And in my opinion,
yeah.
that's men and women. Worrying about somebody
exactly.
disrespected you. Leave them in the hands of the Lord. The Lord
yeah.
knows how to take care of his children. If somebody disrespecting you, go ahead and pray for that person and fast for that person. Love that person. Be like Christ. I'm telling you something. Christ was magnificent. He took all of that. When it came down to his children and his people, he died for us while we were yet in our sins. He didn't
yeah.
walk away from us. He stayed the course because he loves us. How can we love each other like that? And we can't even love the man or the woman that lives in our own home.
Okay.
We have to get hurt. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you have that Holy Spirit inside of you, it's not
the
like
Holy
you're not going to feel some pain, but the Holy Spirit raises up a standard in you, and you can rise up above all that mess that's going
right.
on and keep on rocking. Keep on floating. Keep on moving
right.
on, because the Holy Spirit gives you the strength to do it. It gives you such peace. You ever walk around somebody who has no peace? Oh my God!
You don't want to be around them. I'm gonna tell you
that.
Yes.
Holy Spirit. And you can feel the spirit. You can feel that spirit.
I tell you, you know,
when you walk
like
in the room.
We work so hard. We work.
I know.
It,
you,
it takes work. It takes work.
You try to change that subject, and then they get mad at you because they're saying, you're not even listening to me. You're not even, I'm in pain. It's like, oh.
Yes.
Oh
it takes,
God,
it
like,
takes work
know.
For us to do what's right according to the word. It doesn't just happen. I was just talking to my husband the other day. Sometimes it just hits me. I say, why do I love so hard? Why do I care? Why do I care about these people? And he, and I know it's the Lord. It's not me. I'm like, why do I care? Why am I thinking about this person? I'm deeply, like, concerned. Like, I want the best. Like, I want to, I'm just going to pray. I'm just in the heaviness. It's like for people, the burden to just, see people like live for Christ, at least be progressive. I'm not perfect. I ain't nowhere near perfect, but I'm childlike, and I know that I'm teachable. I have to stay teachable, stay in that place where I want to grow and I want to be better and I want to be a blessing to the body. We can't do that without the Spirit of God. It don't come from us.
But
that's right.
Too, when you're dealing with that kind of situation and that pain is coming in your life, because it does get hard sometimes. Let's talk about that. You, when you see that, and I hate to keep throwing it out, your husband doesn't show you the love that you would like to see, you may have to shed some tears, you know. But you know what?
Yep.
Once you get on your knees before the Lord and you cry out before God, and then you just, you stay there. And until you find that peace, now you can get up and now you can still love him. You can still do what you need to do. Everybody on the planet needs to learn that. They all need that Holy Spirit that will indwell you, that will cause you to be different from your average man. Does anybody know about that? I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'm going to bring in a caller. Ecclesiasticus chapter 2, verse 2 says, set thy heart aright and constantly endure, and make not haste in the time of trouble. What in the world is that? What in the world? Set thy heart aright.
Don't make
sometimes you have to get down on your knees before the Most High to set your heart aright. Haven't you ever made some bad decisions? You see yourself heading in a direction.
Yes.
And you have to get down on your knees before God and ask him to forgive you first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then let him set your heart aright. And now you can get up and endure the madness, because it's madness. Mm-hmm. This world we don't belong in. I'm going to bring in a caller, and then let's talk about that. Let's go to that next scripture. Area code 504. Area code 504. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
This is Sister Kelly.
How you doing, Sister Kelly?
I'm fine. I was just listening on your call, and I agree with everything everyone is saying. All praises to the Most High.
Amen. Praise him. Mm-hmm. So you didn't mean to press one. Is that what you're telling me?
accidentally hit the button, but you know.
Okay,
that's all right.
Well, we praise the Most High. We appreciate it, sister. I'm going to put you back
I'm
out.
I'm glad you agree.
Yep, exactly. All right, so let's talk about.
Thanks for calling.
And anybody else that wants to come in, yeah, thank you for reaching out. Press 1, get into the host queue, and talk to us about what these scriptures mean. And are you finding yourself filled with the Spirit of the living God? Because if you're not, you need to, number one, start praying and asking the Most High for his Spirit. And number two is you need to make sure your vessel is clean, because the Holy Spirit is not going to dwell in a corrupt home. Not staying. Not staying. She's out. She's out. And I get it. Let's pray.
ask for the Spirit of the Living God to help us to stand in the withstand the wiles of the devil. That's a rough word right there, the wiles of the devil, because he is definitely rough. Now, you know, because what about, I knew a sister and she said, you know, she was uptight because she said the Most High took her baby. Oh.
Now that's a rough state.
I'm going to tell you, I pray that none of us be tried when he said lead us not into temptation. Father,
yeah.
Please. I think we can do better without that trial. I think we can step it up right now and not bring us down to that level to see if we can. I mean,
love isn't love or proven until it's tested.
Tested. I know.
So,
I don't want that.
Know, I just want to say this. I want to say this, that often we, and I actually heard a message at our church one weekend, and the brothers brought out that a lot of times we're asking the Most High to take us out of something. But he said he'll be with us through the trial.
Yes.
Right? And we have to go into that oven of adversity and fire to change us. And as
that's
we go through, because, like, you know, I thought of when Paul said at the end, you know, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. And is that well done because he went through the fire and was cooked? Understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be funny.
No pun intended. I get it.
The thing is that we are going to go through stuff. We're not above our master. He said if he
had it, we're going to have it.
Right.
Right, we gotta stay in that furnace until we burn out. What they say, burn out all iniquity.
And the fire keeps knocking off the impurities. It starts separating itself.
Can you imagine how we would be? Or what kind of complaints they would be if we would look at our lives like that? If we would be able to say it was good for me that I was afflicted, that we lose our life to that extent, that we're willing to do whatever it takes. We're willing to do whatever it takes Most High to bring us. He knows what it takes, Carol. He knows, and he said he would not.
Is anybody able to say that, though? Do any of us say that?
No, what I'm trying to say is, let's look at verse 3. It says, cleave unto him and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. We always got to keep the last end in sight, but this verse 4, whatsoever is brought upon you, take cheerfully, and be patient when thou art changed to a low estate.
Now that's hard.
It's not easy. It's not easy. But all he's telling you is don't jump ship. Don't get angry.
Those fasting days,
this is when you have to pray and fast and pray.
Yeah.
Because being brought to the lowest state, oh my God, when I hear some of the brothers, when I hear some of the brothers even saying, you know, like she's not respecting me and all of that kind of stuff, they must be feeling like a pretty low person when somebody's not. Wives are not respecting them. But what does the scripture say? Be patient. Get into the prayer closet. Start praying and asking the Most High to give you the strength and the courage. And sisters, try not to try them to that extent.
Right.
But nonetheless, we all are in the furnace of adversities for a reason.
Yes.
That's right.
The Most High is trying to change in you. Don't you see that?
Right.
Right.
That's what we got to look at.
Absolutely right.
Let me just share this scripture.
Right.
2 Corinthians 4:8-10. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Yeshua, that the life also of Yeshua might be made manifest in our body.
Amen.
Christ, you know, has to be seen in us.
Right.
Go ahead, Paul.
Now,
go ahead.
It's like you said, if we, what would the difference between us and anybody else, you know what I'm saying? If you're not walking in the truth, what's the difference if you're walking in the truth? When you come through trial and you handle it just like the world, that would be crazy.
Yeah,
there's
got to
be a difference. There's got to be something that shows the difference. Yes.
Because it says, verse 5 says, for gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. So sometimes if there you see some of these families where the husband and the wives are going through some stuff, what do we tell them? Listen, brother, love her. Listen,
that's
sister,
the part of it.
Get on your
knees
and asking the Most High to help change whatever's inside of you so that
that's
you
right.
can become more beautiful, not ugly. Not doing like what the world does. Walk away. Run.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? Let's be like Christ. He did not leave us. He stayed with us until he endured until the end. Until the very end.
It is finished.
We have to allow the word, the Most High, the word of God to dictate to us how to respond. And another thing for women is like, if you talk, I mean, there was a time in my marriage, it has not been all good. It's been very hard in our marriage. Like we broke up a long time and we miraculously got back together, not because of, I was just a willing vessel. I wasn't praying to get back together. I was willing to do whatever the Most High. And I'm happy. I mean, I'm so thankful that we're back together. But there was a time I would be so tired and so wore out, I would talk to anybody that listened to me about my husband, and I would say things that I should not say. And they would tell me all the wrong things. And all of these women, I'm saying the women that are married that don't talk to people that don't even have a husband, they ain't got no advice to give you. Don't open your ears.
Oh, my goodness.
They're not bold enough to pray with you, say, can I pray with you, sister? You need to run because they're going to take you further away from your home, further away from
this
your man,
right.
further
right.
away
don't
from your truth and the path of Christ.
Don't
you have
to nobody.
Your ear. You have to learn how to be still. Sometimes you got to wait, but if you don't know nobody to go to, then you have to wait and just cry out to God. Don't talk to nobody. It'll be worth it. I'm telling you from past experience, I listen to everybody. Now, I don't listen to nobody. I don't go to nobody. I go to God.
Jackie?
That scripture that says,
what God has joined together.
Come on, yes.
Not man put asunder. That includes your friends. That includes you. And that includes your husband. Because it's everything includes everybody. Do not allow that to separate you from what the Most High has put together and whatever, you know. I've heard sisters saying, how do I know the Most High put us together? Because that's his union. That's his union. You stood before him and you opened your mouth.
I was all ears, and it drove me to the divorce court because I started hearing voices.
I want to read a scripture, and it's Deuteronomy 13. And I'm going to start at verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So what Jackie was saying, when she said, don't listen to other people. These people coming to you with these dreams, and you know you have people coming up to you saying, I got a word of knowledge for you. And if you go and listen, and they'll send you, when it says going off to follow other gods, that could be anything. That could be leave your husband and get yourself another god, you know, get yourself another man, right? And like Sister Jackie said, don't just listen to all these people. It's like going to the dentist's office, and the dentist has no teeth, and he's telling you how to save yours.
You know,
I want
to look at verse 6 too. It says, believe in him, that's the Most High, and he will help thee order thy way aright, and trust in him. Now, how can we believe in the Most High? First of all, we got to believe what the word says. The word says, when a man's ways please God, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. The word says, he who saves his life shall lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. And so, and that's so funny, he says, shall find it, because he knows we're lost out there. He knows it. And we, if we go ahead and let go of who we are, we will find, we will find the life that he so much tried to give us. But see, we don't believe God. We don't believe the scripture.
Right.
We don't believe that the kingdom is coming. So therefore, we're grabbing a hold of as much of this world as we can hold on to, because we feel like this is all we got. You know, we don't have to worry about the foolishness that's going on in this world, in our home, around us. That's not our problem. Our problem is us. What are we doing? When we stand before the Most High God, what will we have to stand on? Did we believe him? If we believe that the Most High said, I'll be a God to you and to your children, do we believe that? Do we believe that if we go ahead and walk with him, that he will sup with us? Do we believe that? How many scriptures do we believe? The promises that yea and amen that come to us, why do we not believe them? That we feel like we need to, no, I'm not putting up with that. That's not happening to me. I'm going hither, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm saving my life. I'm saving, because ain't nobody going to walk on me like that. Nobody. Foolishness in your head. I'm telling you. Yeah, that's what I said. Life is too short. I ain't dealing with this. No, let him find somewhere else to go. Or her, you know. Put her away. What? The scripture says, husbands, don't put your wives away.
No.
Who do we believe?
Yeah.
And then there's a scripture in it talks about, when you consider the things of old, has anyone that has trusted in the Most High been forsaken, confounded? Have you ever seen a situation where people went out for themselves and said, I'm not dealing with this, where their lives got better? Have you really seen it where they let go of Christ and their lives got better? I haven't seen it.
Nope.
I've seen nothing.
No, but I've seen plenty who got Christ and got better.
No.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. When you find Christ, you become, and see, people don't get it. They don't get it because they have found Christ. And it's not until Christ comes into your life where the Holy Spirit resides in you, you can't explain it. I'm going to tell you right, you can't explain it, how that helps, how that saves your life. When you let go of you, you surrender your will unto the Most High God. Surrender, lay down your weapons.
Yep.
Yeah.
And ride with the Most High. Have you just read the waves of the Most High at peace?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, people take a that peace.
Yep. My grandson said to me one day, how do you know that what you're following is right and that God is real? You know, the typical question of you can't prove it, that kind of stuff. And then he said, so how can you show me? I said, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't show him. If you don't know the Lord,
you gotta believe.
If you don't know him, there's no book that I could open up and, you know, I can show you the scriptures, and if the Most High wakes you up, that's one thing. But you know what I'm saying? I can't sit down and prove anything to you, because you'll still have more and more questions. And the scripture says to avoid foolish questions, right?
Right.
Questions are downright foolish. They'll sit there and try to push you into a corner because they want you to doubt. And I'm not saying that was my grandson's thing, but I'm just simply saying when children ask these questions, some things you just have to be honest with them. That you know, like that song that says, you know, he lives in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ Yeshua lives today, walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Amen. And I think that Laura said it.
He said
the manifest, that Christ would be manifested. That's how you'll see Christ, how you let people know. That's the only thing. And sometimes the gospel and salvation seems like foolishness to those that are perishing. It's like foolishness. Because, you know, you look at them and you think, she ain't nothing but a fool.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't nothing but a fool. Staying with that man. He ain't nothing but a fool. Look at him. You know, I love when I see brothers in church that I can point out and say, that man loves that woman. I love that. And they're usually the relationship is beautiful. When you can actually see that a man loves a woman, there's good few in the church that I can point out and say, that man loves that woman. That's a beautiful thing. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the woman, you know, the tail's going to follow the head. We have to stay out of that situation and let the Most High burn out whatever iniquity is in their situation.
Yeah.
What we need,
you know,
Christ,
I want to share
another.
This. I've known couples who, in the South, who fight each other like cats and dogs. She stabbed him. He stabbed her.
Betty,
And then when you I go visit, and there's people, they don't stop their ways. He stopped drinking. He's in a church. He's a deacon now, and she is sister ushering around there. You know,
They stayed the course
together, and they support each other, and they for better.
I want to say. When you see people like a pimp over a woman who's beating the crap out of her, she'll stay there. She'll get beat.
And there's a problem there. There's a problem there. Because the peace of God doesn't reign in her heart. She's worshiping him. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure when we're talking what we're talking about. And we're always talking about righteous judgment. We're talking about doing things the way the Most High would have us to do it. That where he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. When you lift up Christ, you'll draw your wife. When you lift up hell, you're not drawing your wife. When you lift up Christ, you'll draw your husband. Lift up Christ. That's where you have to go. Bring in, show people how holy you are. Show
That's
your life to be so set apart and so after God. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful sight that is. When you have that Holy Spirit dwelling within you,
That's
that people can see Christ in you.
Yep. That's right.
How do we do that? By letting go of who we are and letting the Most High put us on that potter's wheel and change into that man that he's trying to change us into that beauty. It talks about the beauty of holiness. There's no beauty in seeing a woman yelling and screaming and arguing with a man. There's
That's
no beauty.
So ugly. That's so ugly.
And guess what? There's no beauty in seeing a man beating and yelling and screaming at a woman.
Right.
You don't
know
that either.
Not at all.
That's why when you said that we got to stop looking at the gender. Because just start loving each other, no matter who it is, we just love each other. Because, you know, what's that scripture that talks about the Holy Spirit is like when the wind blows. You can't tell from whence it comes or whence it goes. But you can see what was left behind. So where are those fruits? The love, the peace, the joy. All of those are the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
What the Holy Spirit will build in you. And people can see that. And that's how you know that the Holy Spirit is residing in that person, because you will see those fruits, you know?
Yes.
And
that doesn't make you a strong black woman. It doesn't make you a strong man. It doesn't make you... I roar like a lion. None of that.
Right.
None of that.
Right.
That Holy Spirit needs to be seen in you.
Everybody.
That gives us the power to love one another. It doesn't.
Absolutely.
If my husband treats me right, then I can love him back. No, that's only temporal. Or if the elder Kai can't give you power to love nobody, you got to go to the
nobody.
Holy Spirit. You got to go to God.
That's
right. You got to work out your own soul salvation. It's not coming through how many times a week you go to church, how many times you listen to the lesson, none of that. The power is going to come from building that personal relationship and getting rid of all these religious, familiar spirits that don't benefit us at all. At all. We got to We have to root up those spirits that are keeping us from doing the will of the Father, from loving our mates, loving our husbands like we should. Oftentimes, this is a quick joke. Can I please tell this? This is kind of humorous.
Go ahead.
There's some sisters that go to the church, right? And they nurse their babies. So I pick with them and I say, how often do you nurse your baby? And they say, usually the answer is I nurse my baby on demand. I said, well, I hope you nurse your husband on demand too, do you?
That is funny, Jackie. That's very funny because, you know, you got a lot. lot of people that don't want to do that.
Yeah, but that's, you know, but these men, they need to be nice too. They need to know
that's
that
right.
They can't get jealous of their children. And the thing is, my kids are grown now, grown and gone. When your kids grow up, it's you and your husband. What have you built?
That's
what
right.
kind of
that's
legacy,
it.
What
right.
type of relationship have you built with your husband? I had one person tell me, well, when my kids got grown, I realized me and my husband, there wasn't nothing there, really. So I always told young people, you leave each other because there's nothing there where you're married. You know, you have
well,
to cultivate it.
You know,
it's a lot there, but you have to cultivate it. Like,
you know,
my husband is like my marriage, but
something.
I love being around them.
Let me tell you something,
Jackie.
Even if you and your husband don't have a doggone thing in common, if you have Christ as your common denominator, you got a lot in common.
That's right.
You understand? If the Most High is what you guys have in common, oh my goodness, what a blessing is
this. Yes.
What a blessing. The things that you can talk about. The things that you can let him see, the love that you can express when somebody has the same kindred spirit. And that's why the Carol artist said, get rid of those familiar spirits, because those familiar spirits, those old spirits, that old man that hung out with us, that we got to let go of that and let and lose our lives for Christ. Lose who you are.
That's right.
It's not a good
absolutely.
Place. You may be some arrogant, sassy, whatever you thought you was when you were growing up. That's not Christ-like. What was Christ-like? Somebody pull up the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody pull up the fruit of the Spirit before we get out here tonight.
Galatians 5:22.
Yeah, that's what we desire to be. And that's what we should be hiring to have working in us, men and women.
That's
there's
right.
no excuse. The Holy Spirit must reside in us, and we must bear fruit, because he said if we don't have any fruit, we're not making it into the kingdom.
Right.
Somebody's
Jackie,
why don't I'll be in the next caller when Jackie comes through. Go ahead, Jackie.
5:22, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace,
long-suffering. Wait, don't go so fast.
Okay, joy. Let me slow it down.
Let's look at that joy. If you're walking around bitter,
it's love. Love
angry,
is the first one.
What, yeah, love, okay.
Love.
That you love
it's
everybody.
Not,
but, you know, and sometimes I think that everything under afterward is really what love is. You understand?
Exactly.
It's
right.
Like
exactly.
That joy you have when you walk around and you know Christ is in you. The hope of glory. He said hope for good. When you have joy in you, you're always looking for the better part.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next word it says? What's the next word?
Peace.
Oh, my God.
It's the ultimate.
Oh, my goodness. To be peaceful. You ever have a home where people are fighting and you hate to go home because there's always some ruckus going on? There's nothing like being able to find a place of peace.
Come home to peace.
That's
like the most amazing thing. Come home to peace. That should be where you reside
in your soul. Exactly. That peace has to reside in your soul. You bring the peace.
You got to own it. It's yours.
Yeah.
This is our barometer. When we find, when we feel ourselves in, you can tell when none of these fruit is not operating within you. You need
there
to
you
check
go.
Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, check ourselves.
What's the next word, Jackie?
Then it's long.
long suffering.
Don't
get up there with the long suffering, because you know that's the three rings: the wedding ring, the engagement ring, and the suffering.
You know you're gonna
So the question is, why are we surprised that we are suffering? But that suffering is to change us, guys.
Yes,
to make us better. It's to make us better, or to heal, somebody around us. Remember what Christ said. Why was this man born blind? It wasn't something he did, but for those that were around him, that the glory of God might be seen. So sometimes suffering is helping somebody else. You might have some wayward wife or wayward husband. It's so that the glory of God can be seen.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And while we're long suffering.
Oh, Lord. Nobody wants that. But that's
when we have to put the love, joy, and peace on. When we're having that long suffering, you put the love, you put the joy, you put the peace on.
Yes. How about this?
James 1:2-4 it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing."
Now, this is showing you have to stay the course. It is he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Long suffering. You cannot get up and walk out of your marriage. No one should be separating marriages, because those people are there to sandpaper each other into righteousness and into holiness. Long suffering. Like you said, Carol, what did you say? The engagement ring? Who?
The three rings. Engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering.
Like that.
What's the next word?
Gentleness.
See, that's it.
So now, is that for men? Is that for women?
That's
only for God's children. That's only for God's children to become.
That's right.
Only for God's children. Be gentle with each other. Can you imagine if you're married to a gentle man?
Wow.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Remember, some people are saying that's that effeminate spirit coming in. No, a man can be gentle.
Praise God for that feminine spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit, okay? Praise God for that spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit, if you have not the spirit, you're none of mine. Isn't that what it says?
That's right.
You are none of mine if you don't have the attributes that we're seeing right here and now. Are the Holy Spirit, where is it if it's not in us?
It's not the right
spirit. Oh, my God. We got a big job ahead of us, guys, because the scripture tells us to teach these young women how to love their husbands and how to love their children. How can we teach, if we don't magnify and manifest
the Holy
Spirit? We've got to manifest the Holy Spirit. Bring it. And so we have to be long-suffering. Standing in the gap. What's the next verse is?
Goodness.
Goodness. What is that, guys? What do y'all think goodness means?
Doing
the right thing.
Yeah.
Doing what is right.
Being good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, next one.
Faith.
Having faith.
Amen.
So what is that faith? The Most High said in that faith, the faith without said that he without faith it is what?
Impossible.
We have to believe that what he says to, if we believe that he is a
rewarder of those who
diligently
seek him.
And so diligently.
But it's also saying faith is something you can't see. So we already have we gotta act like it's already happened. You know, or expectantly that we're trusting the Most High to bring it about.
That's right.
Whether we
hope
it now,
for good.
We have to have that expectant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. And just encourage yourself and tell
that's
yourself,
right.
That's what I do.
Christ is at the door. Do I have
time
to talking? Do I have time to be talking fool talk? You know what I'm saying? Because we don't have no
time for that.
No, we don't. Mm. We don't. We have got to be steadfast, unmovable, and that means surrendering and giving up our entire life for the cause of Christ. What losing our life is for. But is your life so wonderful that you want to hold on to what you got here?
Mm.
This cheap little house you're in that could be blown away in a second. Those raggedy clothes that we think are just so special.
That just
we can surrender our will to the Most High God for the things that are. Like when I used to look at my mother, I couldn't understand why material things were just not important to her. They were not important, and I used to get a little mad, like, come now, let us reason together here. You know, that dress. But the heart that she had, that's what we saw, such a beautiful heart in her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what the problem is with the church when people come in and they don't see Christ. They women marriages that are not staying together. They see men that are, you know, cheating on their wives. They see sisters that are talking fool talk. That's what they see.
Yeah.
What they need to
see
battling attributes. Yeah, exactly. They need to see these
what about
attributes that the Holy Spirit is showing us.
Yeah.
No, I believe that
we can show the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, you know, like the Bible says, if we lift up Christ, he will do.
Yeah.
Let's lift up Christ. Let's lift him up. Let's let go of this old man that's in us. Let's get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because
come on now.
Destroying us and the church. Let it go.
Yeah. Let it go.
Are we done? Are we done here?
Meekness. Temperance.
Mm, 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 mm.
Against us, there is no law.
Amen.
Wow. Meekness and temperance. But see now, meekness. I'm telling you, when I read these scriptures, and most times forgive me for saying, but I have to say it. If this is a feminine thing, then we need two Bibles. We need two. We need one for the male. The female, but the Most High said, this is for everybody. Everybody
right.
Learn how to love and learn how to and learn how to be like Christ. And what this world would be like if we loved God like that. Can you imagine?
If we loved each other like that too.
This is what I'm saying. If I'm worried about you and you're worried about me, if I'm caring about you and you're caring about me, not me coming in, I'm the one who needs to be cared for, doggone it. You know, where the heart is laser going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's all love each other.
What
does it be like? otherwise, what would it be like the other way?
We got that way.
There you go. I'm getting out for myself. It's all about me. It's all about me and what makes me feel good and what makes me happy and what makes me glad. You know, give me what I want while I can smell.
Nobody feels safe in that kind of environment.
See, and we gotta realize that this is not a home, you know. Like when Bob's wife, she couldn't let it go. The world was in her.
She had
to look back, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting, you know, so wound up in this world because that's all we can see. But we got to get past what we can see. And the only way we can do that, we have to look through the lenses of the Most High to be able to have that faith, that
and
joy,
we have,
and to walk upright.
We have to lose our lives.
We have to lose it.
And so what does that mean for the cause of Christ? For the cause of Christ, because if I'm going to stumble, my brother, I'm not going to do things that are going to make you see hypocrisy for the cause of Christ. I'm going to try and forgive you and do whatever I can do to make you see Christ in me. And it's not a hypocritical. We've got to get it to the point where that's who it is that you see. You see the results of the Father and the Son, of the Father and the Spirit, which creates the Son. You understand?
Yeah. That's right.
The Holy Spirit and the Father together should create us into the Son. We should, you should be able to see Christ in us because we've got the Father and we've got the Holy Spirit. We've got that Spirit that came from the Father and we've got that Spirit that came from the Holy Spirit. So now we are like Christ, His Son. What a beautiful attribute that is. But one without the other doesn't work.
That's right.
He was able to do greater works
than he was able to do. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what he said. How are we doing greater works than Christ? We certainly are not doing greater.
We walk in the Spirit.
We got a long way to go.
We're not there. And we have to realize during baptism, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He imparts Spirit of love, joy, peace, long suffering. He gives us all this, but our faith, we have to put our faith to work to cultivate it. We become a new creation in Christ, but then we have to know how to use, how do we exercise love? We don't know how to exercise love if we don't run into somebody that's not lovely. We don't know how to exercise peace if we're not being tormented or in a storm. So that's when our faith comes in. So we have to really exercise that, and we need to really get this simple. This is so simple, but a lot of times we don't get it, and it takes time. We got to be still until we get it.
If we don't get it, then we're not equipped. Exactly. You know, when Joseph was in prison, how in the world was he happy in there?
I guess he had to learn because how can you survive in there? How can you survive unless you take on Christ? Because most people want to keep themselves.
Yes. And see, even while he was in prison, I don't know which book it was, Jasher, or one of those books when I was reading, and it talked about that he stayed in there longer because he tried to put a little bit of word into the baker or whoever it was to remember him. And I get it. Look, brother, when you get out of here, Because the Most High will not share his glory with nobody. He's not sharing his glory. So we must go through the furnace of adversity until we learn it's only God that can get us out of this mess.
That's right. That's
only
right.
God that's going to make us feel better. It's only God that's going to make us into what he wants us to be. No one quit. We have
no
to
one.
Surrender our lives. Let's surrender our lives right now as we pray our way out of this. Father God, in the name of the Savior, Yeshua Christ, Lord, we come before you right now, thanking you for your love and kindness, for your tender mercies that are renewed every morning. Every morning. Father, right now we want to surrender our lives to you. We want to surrender. We're asking you to touch those lives that are out there, Lord. Asking you to touch them, Father. Those that are going through, those that are out there that don't know the Holy Spirit. Those that don't have that peace that you have brought us, Father, we're asking that you would bring that peace to our hearts and our minds, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. Help us to clean up our vessels to where the Holy Spirit would reside and stay in all of us, Father. Help our husbands, Lord. Help our husbands, Father. We ask you to help them become better, Father. That they will also surrender their will to you, oh God, not to us. We need you to surrender their will to you, oh Lord, because a man that surrendered to you is a man that we want to be with, oh God. It's a man that we can submit ourselves to, oh God, as we watch them submit themselves to you. Father, we thank you. And, Father, even if they don't, Lord, we're asking that you would give us the strength tonight, oh God. Give us the strength to carry on, Lord. This battle is raging.
Yes, it is.
And we are trying to be long-suffering, Father. Give us the strength to suffer through. Give us the strength to carry on, Lord. We ask these things in Yeshua's holy name, Father. In his holy name we pray.
Yes.
Anybody want to add to that prayer? Someone.
Thank you for your help.
Father.
We cry out to you.
Go ahead,
Father,
pray.
We just ask, Lord, that you help us to keep our vessels clean so that Holy Spirit can stay with us, Father. Help us to get dressed in the morning and put on that full armor, Father, and just lay our vessels down and ask, you know, just fill us, Father. We pray, Lord, that we will be able to ask for that filling, Father, but be ready to be filled, Father. So, Lord, we ask that you sweep us clean so we'll be ready to receive your Spirit, Father. We just ask, Lord, so that we can share our love with the people around us, our children, our husbands, our wives, our, you know, everyone who we come in contact with, Father. Just let us be what you would have us do, Father. These and many things we pray in your precious Son, Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Sister Jackie, were you praying out there? You want to add to that before we go? Anybody else?
Father, in the name of your Son, Yeshua, we just cry out for your help. Father, we ask that you forgive us, cleanse us, and wash us in your blood, Lord God. We ask, God, that you will pour your Spirit out upon our flesh, God. And we ask that you will root up everything in us that's not like you. Root up bitterness, hate, anxiety. Frustration, Lord God, suicidal attitudes, Lord God. We ask that you root it up out of us, God, and we just We draw nigh unto you, and we resist every
yes.
devil, every demon, every demonic
yes.
force. We resist it in the
yes.
name of your son, Yeshua.
Yes.
And we draw nigh unto you, and we just thank you, Father, that you are our very present help in time of trouble, Lord.
Yes.
And so we call on you no matter what the problem is, Father. We call on
yes.
your name, Ahaya, by Hashem Yeshua. We call upon you, Ahaya, Yeshua, Ahaya. We call upon you, and we praise you because you are the God of all flesh, and you own everything. You created everything. We were made in the likeness and image of you. And, Father, we just thank you, God, for saving us and for keeping
yes.
us, for making us and molding us into your image, Lord God. We need you, and we can't make it without you. But with you, we can do all things through Christ
yes.
who strengthens us. And, Father, we
yes.
thank you.
Yes.
We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. You are the great I am. We love you
yes.
so much with all of our heart. We praise you with all of our heart. We give
we
you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we lift you up as the King of kings
yes.
and the
yes,
Lord,
Lord
of lords. In the name
thank
of
you,
your
Lord.
Son, Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Betty, you want to add something to that, Betty?
Glory. Yes, Father. Father, we just thank you for right now. We thank you for every sister that was on these airwaves listening and speaking. Father, we hope that our words have fallen on ears that heard and can hear.
Yes, Father,
we
yes.
thank you, Father, for healing. So many needs healing. Physically and mentally, Father, we only have you, Father, and we know where our help comes from. We look towards the hills and how
yes,
you
Lord.
Kept us and how you kept us down through the years, Father. So we just this hour just give you praise, and we share in faith that we will continue knowing that you are our help, a present
yeah.
help in time of trouble.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Father,
yeah.
just heal us. Help us.
Mm.
We cry out to you, Father, in this time because it's so wicked. Everything is turning to the wicked one, but it seems that way. But we know that we are winners in you, Father, and we know that we're covered by your love and by your power. We just thank you, Father, and we praise you. We give you honor in Yeshua's mighty name.
Carol, can you close us out? Carol, you have us on mute. We can't hear you.
Sorry. Brilliant, right? Hero Israel, the Lord our God is one. Shema Yeshua, Ahaya Alahaya Nawa, Ahaya Atzad. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on the gates. And I thank you, Father, for those words. Help us to keep the commandments that you've given us, Father, and that includes living a holy life and dwelling in peace with whomever we're living with, dwelling in peace with our husbands, dwelling in peace with our children, our neighbors, our friends, our church, brothers and sisters, Father, that we find we prefer to let you shine and that we take a back seat, Father. Let our pride be removed, Lord, because many of our sins are based upon the fact that we are prideful people, Father. We're asking you tonight to bless all of us, Father, to give us the strength to go on and to make you
get bigger and bigger as we get smaller, Father. We thank you and we praise you tonight for this program, for all the kind words, for all the wonderful scriptures that we've heard. Father, but we ask that we just not be hearers of your word, but that mm-hmm. we become doers of your holy word, Father. That it really resonates in our spirit and that it transcends us, that we may become the children of God. We thank you so much for all your love, your kindness, and your tender mercies. We ask that everyone that's listening to be blessed tonight. Father, we thank you so much for every time that we can come on the air and be together. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of Ahayabash and Yeshua,
I pray that everybody out there, if you're not at peace, if you have a spirit of anger, if you're upset, if you can't find the peace that we're talking about here tonight, that you will fall to your knees, because the scripture says, when you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me.
Yes.
So seek God right now while he can be found. Seek him while he can be found. Call upon him while it's day. And that Holy Spirit will dwell with you. Once you clean out some things, the Spirit will clean out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Find your way to Christ.
Yes.
And then you don't have to worry about the cares of this world. Everybody have a blessed night, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. See y'all again.
Shalom. Shalom.